It's your state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And to get you up to speed quickly, three judges have now ordered former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman to stop deleting documents having to do with his 2020 election review. Two judges have now found Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in violation of the state's public records law by not turning over documents having to do with Gableman's 2020 election review. While the chair of the Assembly Elections Committee on Friday once again called for decertifying Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election results. So do you want to see these documents in question? Do we, the people, have any right to see those documents? What do you think? Join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. That phone number again, 1-800-642-1234. Our guest is Tom Kamenick, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, a law firm dedicated to strict enforcement of the state's open records and open meetings laws. Tom, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me on. And you missed that one of the judges also held Gableman and Voss in contempt of court for not turning over records.
It is so let us start right there, Tom. Are those records that exist and are those records that the public have a right to see?
Yes, the Office of Special Counsel is a legislative creation. So it is a part of the government. So it is subject to Wisconsin's open records laws. And interestingly, even if it wasn't itself a government agency, because it is something that contracts with the government, its records related to that contract would be subject to the law as well. Those are all public records.
And Tom, if you've been following, can you give us some idea of what the defense of the former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman has been and what the defense of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has been in failing to turn over these documents?
Oh boy, there have been a bunch, because there are, I believe, now four separate cases proceeding through the courts. They've tried to argue they're not subject to the open records law, or they don't have to turn over records because it's an ongoing investigation, but there is no such exception for ongoing investigations. They've tried to order that, or at least Voss has tried to argue that, well, I can't make Gableman search for records. There have been all kinds of things, and judges have not accepted any of them as legitimate excuses.
At least to date. Tom, how did you get involved in this? I mean, it could seem a little wonky. It seems like sometimes you might be wading through the weeds or at least looking for a needle in a haystack when it comes to open records. But this certainly strikes while the iron is hot this morning with the stories of the investigation into the 2020 election.
Sure. I've been a more of a bystander on this one. None of these are my cases. They're all being brought by the Pines Bach law firm out of Madison and by an attorney who's done a ton of great work for transparency in the state named Krista Westerberg.
How did you get involved in the open records, push? How did you become the founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project? What made this all happen for you?
Well, anybody who's looked into my background would realize the irony here is I actually clerked for Justice Gableman when he was on the Supreme Court back in 2009-2010. It was that term. And it was an interesting experience, but one of the cases was an open records case, one called Schill versus Wisconsin Rapid School District, and it was about purely personal emails sent on government accounts from government computers, whether or not those could be turned over. And I got really interested in that. And I joined, after clerking, I joined the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And there I was the open records and open meeting specialist. And I got to do several cases up through the Court of Appeals and in the lower courts on those issues, and one even to the Supreme Court. And I loved it. And I realized at some point, this is what I want to do full time. And at will, that was just one of many things I was working on. So I left to form the Wisconsin Transparency Project.
Well, we're talking about public records and why it's sometimes difficult to get officials to turn them over. Tom Kamenick, our guest, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project. And your questions are welcome during our state capitol report at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Tom Kamenick, which records aren't public? Are not public under Wisconsin state law?
Well, you got to start with a presumption that everything that's in government possession that has information on it is a record and by default is presumed to be open to public inspection, public copying. But there are a good number of exceptions, and the first set of them come from statutes. So things like FERPA and HIPAA protecting education records or medical records. There are statutes that protect things like your bank account info, other private info that government can't turn over about you. Then there's a set of court-created exceptions. For example, prosecutor files are pretty much off limits. There are the particular privileges like attorney-client privilege. So when your local mayor or your school board is having communications and getting advice from their attorneys, that advice typically is privileged and you can't see that. But then there's also what's called the balancing test. And this is something that gets applied on a case-by-case basis where the custodians of the records have to look at them and say, well, we weigh the interests favoring disclosure against the interests favoring non-disclosure and see which one weights more heavily. And so you get a lot of gray areas when it comes to that. You get a lot of denials that are based on that balancing test.
And then who decides the test and the outcome? Is this all take place in the courts? And where is enforcement when it comes to public records in Wisconsin law?
It all starts with that government custodian. They make the first decision. And if you believe that their decision is wrong, if you were denied a records request or information was redacted, you can go to court to challenge those. And that's where I come in. And that's also where the district attorneys, your local district attorneys and the state attorney general theoretically can bring these prosecutions too, although they rarely do. And if a case winds up in court, then at that point, it's the judge's job to do this balancing test themselves and see if they agree with the record custodian. And it's important that the record custodian is the one that has to prove that this exception applies. They have to show evidence that releasing these records is likely to cause some kind of harm to somebody's safety or privacy, or it would interfere with an ongoing investigation. They can't just allege that it will happen and it'll be taken at face value. They do have to prove it in court.
Have any of those defenses come up in any of the cases regarding Michael Gableman or Robin Voss?
Yeah, because they have argued that that this is an ongoing investigation. That's a common misconception. I see a lot of denials that just say, especially from police departments, oh, well, we're investigating this case. We can't turn over any records. That's not really correct. They're supposed to look at the records on an individual basis and decide, would releasing this record interfere with the investigation somehow? So, for example, you know, if somebody doesn't know they're a target yet and they're worried that they'll flee or they'll start destroying evidence or they'll change their behaviors, then the police or whoever's doing the investigation can make the decision and say, we're not going to turn this over now because it would make our job a lot harder. So that came up a little bit in one or two of the Gableman cases, but the judge did not accept those because the Gableman could not show how releasing the records that he was receiving would interfere with his investigation.
Tom Kamenick, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, how would you size up our state's public records laws? How do they compare and contrast to other states across the country? And are they doing the job that they're charged with for the public good?
There's parts that are better than other states. There's parts that are worse than other states. On whole, I'd say we're better than most states. It is difficult because literally all 50 states get to create their own rules about this. But we have laws that say it applies to every single branch of government, both the executive branch, the legislative, and the judicial branches. A lot of states' court records aren't open, or it only applies to state agencies and not local governments. We've got pretty good enforcement laws that if you file a lawsuit in court and you win, you're successful, you get your attorney's fees paid by the other side. That's a great way that incentivizes actually enforcing these laws. There's some things that are worse, though. One of them is fees, because we have kind of open-ended non-capped fees for locations so that the government custodian can charge you for the time spent looking for records, which tends to incentivize them to not be very efficient about their record searches. And I see a lot of really, really large location fee demands when they're not really called for when they're not really justified. And I think it's really a way to discourage people from making record requests.
And Tom, as you see it, how are officials violating the state's public records laws? Where do they fall short most often?
What I mentioned before was especially law enforcement officials tend to grab onto this. Oh, it's an ongoing investigation. It's a really quick way to just say no, but it's not right. I do see a lot of those location fees being inflated beyond reasonable amounts, especially when people make a record request for electronic records, and you can literally just do a keyword search for emails in a couple seconds, and they'll still try to charge you for several hours of work. A lot of the times that's because they're trying to include time spent reviewing the records after they've done the search to see what might need to be withheld or information that might need to be redacted out of the records. But courts have ruled that they can't do that. They're not supposed to be charging you for time spent redacting or even just reviewing records after they've located them.
Who's making these records requests, Tom?
I see a lot of individuals who are local, especially at the local level, that get interested in whatever's going on at their local town halls or city councils. Something doesn't quite smell right. So, you know, a deal that's maybe in the works that's been a little secretive, people looking into that. Sometimes those people come together and form little local government watchdog groups. I get a lot of contacts from those kind of small organizations who were formed after some shady dealings or strange goings on, and people decided to look into it. But we also see a lot from the media, of course. I mean, if you're reporting about government, how do you find out what government is doing for you? You make the requests, you ask the questions, you try to see records. One of my first cases here at the Transparency Project was on behalf of Fox 6 News, which made a record request to Governor Evers, just wanted to see all of his emails for a short time period, you know, a week, or eventually it was even just a day. And the governor said, no, we don't want to turn those over because there's no search terms. You're just getting everything. You don't need to see that. But the courts disagreed and said, no, you get to do that kind of a spot check and look, just see who all is the governor communicating with. What is he talking about, or what are people asking him?
Tom Kamenick is the president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project. And have you met resistance when trying to access public records? Share your story this morning. It's the State Capitol Report, and you're welcome to join us at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rabin, and our conversation with Tom continues on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're examining open records laws in Wisconsin, as they've certainly been in the news recently. But laws are written by legislators who are able to codify, if they want to, their own reluctance to grant public access or oversight. But open records requests can go over the line, too, can't they? Aren't there some public records requests that would have to be considered so onerous as to border on harassment? Some clerks, hardworking clerks, may be able to attest to that. So then where do you draw the line when it comes to the right of the public to see our government's work? 1-800-642-1234 to join us. 1-800-642-1234. Our guest, Tom Kamenick, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project. He also clerked for former Justice Michael Gableman when he was on the state Supreme Court, and was the open records guy for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Tom, you don't see, I take it, you don't see open records as partisan. And how do you see the battle over public records and whether or not they should be made available to the public? If it's not partisan, what is it?
If it's not partisan, it's public. It's all about accountability. It's one thing I really love about doing the Transparency Project is I don't have to care about what kind of records are being sought or if the person on the other side of the V in the lawsuit has a D or an R after their name. I've worked with people getting records about police brutality, and I've worked with people getting records about critical race theories. I love that I'm able to help out anybody for any issue they've got with government, because that's ideally it should be a bipartisan issue, although as you were alluding to in the intro, it's sometimes a bipartisan push against transparency in government. So, well, for example, in Wisconsin, the individual legislators are exempt from not the records law itself, but from retention laws. They can literally destroy and delete any record they have for any reason they want to at any point.
They wrote that for themselves, right?
They did, yes.
How long has that been on the books? That seems to at least go against what you would imagine to be the intent of open records laws, that they could just get rid of these when they decide to. Where'd this come from?
That's been around since the open records law itself was written back in the early 1980s. It's technically not part of the records law itself, although that it does appear in the same chapter in those state statutes, but it's a different provision about record retention. That's something I get into confusion or trouble with, is that the open records law does not help you if they don't have the record that you want. It can't be used to make them create records that they're supposed to create or keep records that they were not supposed to delete. Once it's gone and out of their possession, they don't have to turn it over anymore because it's not there.
So would this caveat or carve out in any way aid the defenses of Michael Gableman or Robin Voss in their failure to turn over documents?
So that's one of the things they tried to argue. The problem there is twofold. One is it doesn't apply to contractors. Contractors are still required to keep all their records. Number two is it only applies to individual legislators. So your senator, your assembly person, they can delete their own records. The legislature or the assembly, the Senate, the bodies themselves, that exception that allows them to delete records doesn't apply there. So the whole body's records still have to be kept. And as we've heard from the court cases, these judges have been directly ordering Gableman and the Office of Special Counsel not to delete their records for that reason. Specifically, you are not permitted to do that.
Well, Justice Gableman testified that he did delete records from his probe of the 2020 election. How common is this, Tom?
It's really hard to say because you don't know what you don't know, right? If they don't have the records, very often they just say, we don't have responsive records. You don't often get them admitting that they actually deleted stuff. You have the kind of unusual situation here where you've got the custodian on the stand under oath answering questions.
Yeah, I would be curious. Tom Kamenick, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, also in the news recently, the story of the Secret Service cell phones over January 6th and missing text messages across the board. The defense from the Secret Service is they were changing technologies and lost a lot of information over that time. But there is still some question about that data from the Secret Service on the day of January 6th in question, the text messages that have gone missing since then. I'd just like to get your reaction to all that, Tom.
Well, we're talking about FOIA here, the Federal Freedom of Information Act, which is different than Wisconsin's and all other state laws. I'm not an expert in that a lot because it's actually a lot more difficult to file lawsuits. The FOIA only applies to executive branch agencies, which basically anything in the alphabet soup that starts with department or agency, anything like that. But it is something you see in Wisconsin, too, is the deletion of records or the accidental loss of records because of technology. There was a talk, if you recall, about what's the name? I'm not going to use the name because I might get it wrong live and I don't want to do that. But a state official who was on a board who was deleting or using an app that deleted records, deleted communications immediately after they were made, and that becomes a problem. Is even if it's illegal, there's not a whole lot you can do about it because those messages are gone.
Let's go to the phones and your questions for our guest, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, Tom Kamenick. Join us at 1-800-642-1234, where Steve is standing by from Sun Prairie. Steve, good morning. You're on the air with Tom Kamenick.
Hi. We had a situation in our school district where we were looking for books that were purchased in the past year. And they were claiming, while they had the records, they had ignorance. They didn't know how to get the records. I was wondering if that's a valid defense, the ignorance of knowing how to get the records.
Have you heard that before, Tom?
That's a strange one. it might be the case that they don't have a single list of all the books that were purchased. Are these being purchased at different schools by different teachers? One thing that can cause difficulties with record requests is if it requires a lot of people, a lot of different employees to look through records, that can get pretty expensive for search fees. But there are some laws on the books in the state about school districts having to keep lists of their curricular textbooks. So theoretically, those should exist. And if they don't exist, there's at least an argument that you shouldn't have to pay to create them if the law was requiring them to be done already.
Tom Kamenick, we're running out of time, about a minute left, but what are you working on next?
I've got actually a case about those investigation denials. I haven't filed it yet, so I can't give the complete details, but I've got a police department that for years has just been repeatedly denying requests and saying nothing more than open investigation or active investigation. And one of the requirements in the open records law is that when they do deny your request, they're supposed to explain in a fair amount of detail why and what law allows them to do so, so that you know whether or not that this is a valid denial. So at least you can do a little research. The state attorney general puts out a compliance guide that's a really good resource and is very approachable for non-attorneys as well to look through and see what kind of denials are allowed and which ones aren't allowed. So if people go to the Office of Open Government on the Wisconsin Department of Justice's website, they've got great compliance guide to help you out and take a look at that.
Hey, Tom, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Tom Kamenick, president and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, a law firm dedicated to strict enforcement of the state's open records and open meetings laws. Just ahead, we're going to be browsing through Wisconsin's indie bookstores across the state. Be interested to know what your favorite bookshop is and why you love it so. That's coming up next after the news. You're listening to the State Capitol Report, and I'm Lee Rayburn on The Morning Show.